We now go to our last speaker, Dr. Christopher Baer, who is an orthopedic surgeon and a sports specialist with San Diego State's Aztecs. He's also obviously in private practice and has been so for 23 years. I've asked Christopher to speak about Tiger Woods' recent car crash and his surgeries and to find out what this means if he has a professional golf career left in him. Christopher, please go ahead.
Thanks, Larry. I first want to say, since today's program included bioethics and we have Jacob and Jonathan on the program, that I don't, I'm not Tiger's physician and I haven't been treating him, so I'm not violating any HIPAA laws. That said, as most of the world knows, this past Tuesday, Tiger Woods was injured in a single vehicle accident when his car veered across a median, hit a sign, hit a tree, rolled several times, and came to stop about 40 feet off the opposite side of the road. When the police officer came, he was alert and conscious, and not in any pain, which is not unusual due to probably the level of adrenaline that he was having. He was extricated from the vehicle through the windshield. When paramedics came, they stabilized him, which means they put him on a spine board. They put a collar around his neck to stabilize any potential spinal injuries, and they stabilized his fractured leg and transported him to Harbor UCLA Medical Center. The typical drill for the trauma team, they get alerted that a trauma victim is being referred in. They're there and ready. The trauma team consists of general surgeons, orthopedic surgeons, nurses, when he gets there, they assess his injuries. Obviously, they want to rule out life-threatening injuries by sending him for CAT scans of his head, spine, pelvis, abdomen, to rule out internal injuries. Fortunately for Tiger, it appears that his injuries were really confined to his lower extremities, particularly his right leg. And what we don't know a lot, but what we do know about his injuries, which was released, a statement was made that he had comminuted open fractures affecting both the upper and lower portions of the tibia and fibula, and these were stabilized by inserting a rod into the tibia. What this means is comminuted means that it's not a simple break with one fracture line. It means that there were multiple fracture lines, and in this case, it sounds like the upper part of the shin bone and the lower part of the shin bone were fractured. Open fracture means what people know as compound, which means the bone has pierced through the skin to the open environment. And the stabilization of this is typically with a titanium rod, which is inserted at the top of the shin bone, down the center of the bone, to realign the fracture and stabilize it so that the fracture can heal. The next piece of information that was given was, quote, additional injuries to the bones of the foot and ankle were stabilized with a combination of screws and pins. And this is perhaps the most concerning of his injuries in terms of his return to golf. We don't know exactly what those foot injuries are, but common foot injuries from a motor vehicle accident, especially the right leg where the foot is on the brake pedal, can be injuries to the talus bone, which is the bone directly under the tibia bone and is part of the ankle, and another type of injury to the midfoot, which is known as Lisfranc injuries. And again, I don't know what his injuries were, but the fact that they mentioned foot injuries and that these injuries need to be stabilized with pins and screws bring that level of concern. There are many small bones in the foot, and when these are traumatized, the recovery and the resultant sequelae can be chronic pain and stiffness, and the development of post-traumatic arthritis, which would certainly affect his ability to walk normally. The third piece of information we received was that the trauma to the muscle and soft tissue of the leg required surgical release of the covering of the muscle to relieve pressure. And this procedure that was done is known as a fasciotomy. If you look at pictures of his car, you could see the damage to the metal and the steel of the car. Well, imagine that same impact to the soft tissues of his leg. It causes the muscles to swell, and the muscles have a covering called the fascia, and if the muscle swells too much, the pressure inside that muscle becomes too great where the muscle does not get proper blood supply, so the muscle can die. So this is an emergency requiring the surgeons to create incisions on both sides of the leg and cut through the skin and then cut through the fascia to allow the swollen muscle to be released. And these wounds are left open while the muscle swelling goes down. And this can be, they're left open for a period of days to even weeks sometimes. And sometimes they can't be closed primarily, and rather they need skin grafting to cover these wounds. So the early complications following this injury, the open fractures where the bones pierce through the skin create a concern for infection. So he's likely on intravenous antibiotics right now while he's in the hospital. Trauma patients can be affected by blood clots and pulmonary embolism, and so he's likely on blood thinning medication. And these open fractures can cause other wounds and need for soft tissue skin covering, and these are the additional procedures that likely need to be done over the coming days and weeks. So what is his recovery like? The fractures are going to take 8 to 12 weeks to heal. He's going to need protected weight bearing while these fractures heal, which is going to cause his already injured muscles and soft tissues to atrophy. Once his fractures heal, he can begin weight bearing, and he's going to require extensive physical therapy to learn how to walk again with a normal gait and restore the flexibility of his hip, knee, ankle, foot joints, and then restore the strength of his muscles. This overall type of recovery is going to take 8 to 12 months, and I would imagine it's more on the longer end because of the magnitude and the multitude of injuries that he sustained. As far as his return to golf or high-level golf, it's concerning because obviously anyone that's played golf, the ability to stand and walk for extended periods of time for practice and play is necessary. A typical professional golf tournament requires walking of 6 to 7 miles in a given round, and this requires walking on uneven surfaces. The elite golfer needs exceptional balance. The feet and the legs have to provide a stable platform. The golf swing requires precise footwork. The power of a golf swing is generated in the legs, and there needs to be a reproducible weight transfer. So Tiger's back right leg, which was severely injured, needs to transfer the weight to the front leg during the golf swing. The problems I see with his recovery are people with these severe foot and leg injuries can have chronic pain. They can have swelling. Sometimes it lasts the rest of their life in their foot and ankle. And the more they're up on their feet, the more they swell. They can have weakness of the leg, lack of flexibility in the joints. And then the other area of concern is in December, Tiger had a back surgery. And he wasn't fully recovered from that. And we all know car accidents can cause injuries to the spine and back. And so that's a big concern. That all said, my experience in treating elite athletes, whether professional athletes or high-level college athletes, I'm always amazed at how well they recover. their motivation and their body. We always say that they make us look good with the surgeries we do on them. And Tiger Woods is no exception. He's already proven he's no ordinary athlete. He's the best golfer in the world during our lifetime. My feeling is I think Tiger is going to look at this as the ultimate challenge, and he's going to I think he's going to work his hardest to get back and compete at the highest level.
Thank you, Chris.